Hi there, thanks for tuning in. Today I am joined by ComSec's senior economist Ryan Felsman, and we're going to have a bit of a chat about some of the factors that will be important in influencing the share market over the course of the next 12 months. Ryan, there's so much to talk about in terms of things that can influence sentiment and prices, but all roads lead to central bank policy really at the moment. And from our point of view, as a group, we're thinking that the RBA is going to take its foot off the accelerator in February.
Well, that's right, Tom. So the expectation from Commonwealth Bank Group economists is that the Reserve Bank will look to pause its interest rate hiking cycle in February at 3.35%. We have seen the most aggressive policy tightening since 1994, with interest rates being lifted by around 300 basis points so far. So the expectation is that inflation will probably peak in the December quarter of 2022. And that will facilitate the Reserve Bank's pivot towards a pause at the beginning of next year. And in fact, we actually have a rate cut as an expectation towards the end of next year as the Australian economy slows quite significantly.
Now, that thinking is really important because it has played a part in the ASX 200 having quite a decent rally over the course of the last couple of months. And when you look at the ASX 200's performance in relative terms, it's really been quite the outperformer. If you look at the MSCI or the S&P 500, it's performed quite well.
Well, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at the ASX 200, the benchmark index, it's down just 3.5% so far this year, which is remarkable considering what we have seen overseas. We've got the S&P 500 in the US down by around 17%. And the Aussie share market has held up particularly well with the situation evolving with Ukraine's war. And at the same time, we have seen on the back of that, commodity prices, energy prices in particular, lifting very sharply. That's fed into higher inflation and then that aggressive rate hike cycle. So in this environment, of course, what we have seen is the Aussie share market doing well. Certainly the resources sector has been a key contributor. In particular, what we have seen is energy shares up quite significantly. And that has been a big support for the Aussie share market this year.
I suppose the thing to bear in mind is that the reopening story around China has been a significant contributor to the better tone for the Australian market in the back end of the year. It's a question to what extent they follow through on that in the early part of next year as to whether or not that rally continues.
Well, absolutely. So China's reopening is really predicated on what they do with COVID zero policy. And what we have seen is a little bit of an easing in that policy in recent weeks. And of course, if we do see that easing take place, we would see at the beginning of next year the potential for a lift in demand, particularly for commodities, and that could lift commodity prices further. And certainly demand for Australian key resources such as iron ore, natural gas and coal would be particularly lifted on the back of that. And we could see that feed into the share market as well. So the earnings potential of resources company, which have already been strong, certainly could lead to higher or better outcomes there continuing into next year. And of course, on the back of the reopening in China, we could also see strong demand for tourism.
Yep.
So of course, what that would mean, therefore, is that could benefit some of our tourism-related sectors of the economy and certainly the share market as well, as we see perhaps a return of those Chinese tourists and students back into the Australian economy.
Now, I suppose the counterpoint to that is organisations that have still got their profitability some way into the future or are struggling to generate revenue at the moment, or indeed, if they're just heavily leveraged, those sectors tend to get marked down by the market under these circumstances where you can get a better return somewhere else. Does that mean that the tech sector is going to be in for a challenging part of the year, when the first couple of months of next year?
Well, you make a good point. So certainly we have seen the growth orientated parts of the Aussie share market, the tech sector, the buy now, pay later space. They've been under pressure for various reasons. Certainly their earnings are more challenged in a rising interest rate and inflationary environment. And of course, their valuations are more expensive. So investors are discerning where they should be in more cyclical or value stocks. And we have seen those shares, as I mentioned, energy outperforming in this environment. So tech shares have been really underperforming, down by around 30% year to date. At the same time, we have seen those interest rate sensitive sectors of the share market, such as real estate and also consumer discretionary, with consumers impacted by higher borrowing costs impacted at the same time. So we have seen those two sectors fall quite sharply as well during the course of this year. So as far as next year is concerned, what we could potentially see, however, is a little bit of a flipping of that trend. Certainly if we see a peak in inflation and also a pause in that interest rate hike cycle, we could see bond yields potentially start to fall, a bond rally, if you want to call it that. And what would that would mean potentially is those bond proxies like real estate investment trusts and certainly the technology sector could stabilize, and even we could see those shares start to improve a little bit into next year. So certainly deep value or those cheaper stocks could continue to outperform, but also at the same time, we could see the beginnings of a little bit of a rotation perhaps into those growth orientated stocks as well.
So one thing that gets a lot of airplay at the moment and has done for a while is that discussion about what happens when all of the mortgages that were written or taken out by borrowers in that super low era of rates, when the RBA had rates effectively at zero, those mortgages are going to be a bit higher when they roll off over the course of the next 12 months. So there's going to be an ongoing caution, I suppose, when it comes to the outlook for consumer spending. How's that going to play out?
Well, certainly the much talked about mortgage cliff is on the horizon, and it's not far away. So around 23% of the $500 billion fixed rate mortgages are due to expire in the next 12 months. And of course, with those borrowers rolling off those fixed rates of 1.5% to maybe 2.5% to 5% to 6% variable mortgage rates, we're going to see those borrowing costs have a big impact on household budgets and cash flows. So certainly in terms of the property market, that's going to continue to weigh on property prices. We've got a forecast of property prices falling about 15% or so peak to trough. And of course, that has some sort of a wealth effect on consumers as well. And in this environment, we're expecting consumer spending to fall quite sharply. We've already seen consumer confidence at broadly global financial crisis levels. And on the back of that, that's going to slow the Australian economy more broadly. We think the growth rate for the Aussie economy will probably halve to around 1.3% on average in 2023. So the consumer, which has been a pillar of support for the Aussie economy during the pandemic, with those excess savings and unemployment being very low as well at 48.5-year lows of 3.4%, that situation will start to ease somewhat. We think that Australia will avoid a recession, certainly supported by China's reopening. But of course, at the same time, the consumer is really the uncertain piece in the puzzle here for the Reserve Bank going into next year. And that's why we think that they'll look to pause going into next year, mainly because of the impact on the consumer. We're yet to see the full effect of those 300 basis points worth of rate hikes on consumers as yet in terms of their spending behavior.
I suppose, you know, when you're talking about discretionary consumer spending, that's one thing. But what has stood out in recent times as far as consumer staples have been concerned is that you've got a very inflationary environment. You've got a rising cost environment, but the local grocers have actually done quite well in terms of managing all of those challenges, and they've actually held up quite well.
Well, yes, certainly consumer staples, being a defensive type sector, has done quite well relative to some of the other sectors that we've mentioned, particularly consumer discretionary, the real estate, and also information technology sectors. Nevertheless, that sector has declined this year. But what we have seen certainly is retail spending being quite resilient. And of course, Australia's lockdowns were somewhat delayed compared to the rest of the world in terms of the length of time. So what I mean by that is that we came out of lockdowns later than the rest of the world. So there has been pent-up demand, some delayed spending, although we are starting to see a bit of a change in the cycle there as far as spending is concerned with supermarkets in particular. We're starting to see a change or a down cycle as far as spending on food is concerned coming out of lockdowns. We have seen a slowing in spending, in particular on also household goods more effectively. And at the same time, what that all means, though, really, is we have seen a bit of a slowdown when it comes to demand at supermarkets. But of course, at the same time, we have seen inflation, particularly around food, remaining quite elevated. So if you listen to Coles and Woolworths, those supermarkets, we have seen food inflation around 7.5% in the most recent quarter. So that has had some impact on consumers. And consumers have been savvy and they've been looking to rotate their spending patterns more towards some of those more staple items, such as frozen vegetables and that type of good, as opposed to what we have seen in the pandemic.
I mean, it's impossible to talk about the fortunes of the share market without discussing what's going on with the banks. And I suppose the one thing that has come out of their most recent updates is that their margins have actually held up quite well. And the other element of it is that their credit quality has also remained intact. I suppose the thing that the markets will be so careful to where this space is concerned is like the next couple of quarters. They'll be like honed in on this area very closely, won't they?
Well, absolutely. So we have seen a decent rally in Aussie financials over the course of the last few months. In fact, financials are only down 2% year to date as we speak. And that's quite an impressive outcome considering there's a big focus on the housing market. We have seen home prices after lifting by 22% in 2021. We have seen, for example, Sydney home prices down from peak to trough in January, 11% and more. So there has been a big focus on a slowing in home lending, for example, and what that means for the banks. But what we have conversely seen is a big focus on a lift in those interest rates and the impact on net interest margins and what that means. But of course, financials had been oversold and of course, a little bit of a value trade in play being a bit cheaper. And we have seen, of course, on top of that, quite strong demand for Aussie banking shares due to their franking credit related benefits as well. So higher dividend yields and the like certainly lead to investors being quite attracted to the financial sector in particular.
So I suppose the big question, Ryan, is that given our relative outperformance over the course of the last 12 months, is that going to be a theme that will continue as we move into the new year?
Well, Tom, I think that where we've landed with our forecast for the ASX 200 is 7,350 points. So what that would suggest is we'll have a modest positive return or gain into 2023. And we think that really the deceleration in inflation into next year, the pause in interest rates at the beginning of the year, and then eventual rate cut with the economy slowing to below trend growth will provide some support for the Australian economy. We think that certainly exposure to mining, energy and resources stocks will be beneficial to investors still. Of course, we have seen a big rally in commodity prices on the back of the energy crisis and the Ukraine conflict, although some of that has eroded in recent weeks. But at the same time, we think that China's reopening is going to be very supportive of demand for Aussie commodities in particular. And also at the same time, the transition to clean energy, the focus on a decarbonized economy will still lead to quite strong interest and demand for uranium and also lithium stocks as well. And also at the same time, there's going to be a big focus next year on earnings. So we've seen really a derating around valuations for the Aussie share market this year. So we have seen in terms of the price earnings ratio, it has come down quite significantly. It's now at around its long run average of 14.5 times earnings. So that's pretty attractive.
Which is important, isn't it? Because if you compare that to the US market, which is like almost double what its long run average is, where the PE is concerned, that does place us in a more comfortable position, I suppose.
Absolutely. So from a relative perspective, our valuation is quite a bit cheaper. The US is currently pricing the S&P 500 at 19 times P ratio. So certainly more attractive from a valuation standpoint. But of course, we're looking to see earnings downgrades from analysts in particular into 2023 as those rising borrowing costs, higher inflation fit into margin compression, so lower profit margins for companies. But we think that earnings per share growth will probably be around 2%. So fairly low, fairly modest, but certainly that we expect a soft landing for corporate profits in Australia in the next 12 months. And we think Australia's macro picture is less bad than, say, the United States, which will probably have a shallow recession, a deeper recession in Europe, for example. So you combine that with Australia's really attractive dividend yield. So the ASX 200 has a dividend yield of around 4.5%. So that provides the second highest dividend yield in developed markets. So that's a relative attraction for investors too. We've got a modicum of EPS or earnings per share growth momentum. And certainly we think that China's reopening will provide certainly some support for the Aussie economy going forward. And by the end of the year, we could see looser monetary policy as well. So certainly we think the Aussie economy and also the Australian share market will look to outperform global markets into next year.
So Ryan, in terms of how you see the sectors stacking up under those circumstances, this has been a very fluid landscape in the last couple of years. You know, the year before, energy was the worst performing. This year, energy the best performing. It's quite challenging to try and put a finer point on some of these performances.
Well, absolutely, Tom. As I mentioned earlier, of course, energy and utilities have been the two strongest performers, really the pillar of the Aussie share market this year. But we think that quality, high dividend paying stocks with their cash flow potential are likely to continue to outperform in this environment. And certainly those deep value shares with a cyclical focus, looking at energy and material sectors, benefiting from China's demand and reopening with less valuation risk, could continue to perform well in this environment. And then one of the other factors in all this, with inflation potentially easing, we could see a bit of a bond rally take place. Of course, bonds have been under similar pressure to equities in this environment with higher interest rates and inflation. And of course, on the back of that, those bond proxies like real estate investment trusts could do quite well. But on the flip side, where we could see continued weakness is in consumer discretionary on the back of a slowing in consumer spending, a little bit of a tick up in unemployment as demand weakens in the economy. And certainly those high borrowing costs and that impending mortgage cliff will continue to weigh more broadly on the housing sector. So certainly we could see some earnings and margins downgrades for the consumer and housing focus sectors of the share market as well. So really, we've got quite a mixed backdrop into next year, very uncertain, bit of volatility, but we think by year end, when the Reserve Bank potentially will cut interest rates to support the economy, we could see a little bit of a rally into the end of next year and the share market ending marginally higher over the calendar year.
Ryan, at the very least, next year promises to be just as interesting as the year that's just passed. So hopefully we don't age as much as we did in the last 12 months. But thanks very much for those insights.
Pleasure, Tom.
And thanks very much for joining us for this conversation about some of the things that might feature in the next 12 months as far as the share market's concerned.